Arizona News Radio. Border Patrol seizes 3,200 pounds of marijuana in abandoned pickups near Wilcox and Nogales.
Smugglers will use just about any type of vehicle to transport their product. We've seen smuggling loaded vehicles, a smaller vehicle, and we've also seen them in commercial-sized vehicles.
It now appears to be a murder-suicide of a family of five from Tempe, but Pinal County Sheriff Paul Babiu defends comments he made that Mexican drug cartels might have been initially responsible for the five burned bodies.
There wasn't a conclusion or a pronouncement of that it, absolutely it's this.
Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio ready to respond to a federal lawsuit about discrimination.
I'm not going to allow that, so we're in court. It's all politics. And we'll see what happens.
And the Prescott National Forest expanding some closure areas as they let people back into the Gladiator Fire area.
We still are in the area working. There's possibility of, you know, some rolling rocks.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of your KVNX traffic, a service of Village Inn. 4 o'clock hour, look for a wreck, Alma School Road at Guadalupe. Also, we have another wreck, Guadalupe Road, just east of Rural. On the west side, look for an accident, 59th Avenue, south of Peoria. Craving some pie? Good thing it's Pie Rush Wednesday at Village Inn. Come in today from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and get a free slice of double crust fruit pie or lemon supreme pie with dine-in purchase. Pie Rush Wednesday, only at Village Inn. Here's your Wednesday afternoon forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFNX Weather Center. Pretty nice week for us, just about normal for this time in June. Looking at 104 tomorrow afternoon, maybe a degree higher, 105 on Friday, but not much change into our weekend, 103 to 105. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thank you, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds. You're up to date.
And here you are, ladies. Today's dessert special.
Jen, do you smell that? Smells like rotten eggs.
Could it be a gas leak? We need to call Southwest Gas.
Southwest Gas?
They add a rotten egg odorant to their gas, so you know right away if there's a leak.
Excuse me, ladies, but you need to leave the restaurant. We might have a gas leak.
Hey, what about my dessert?
You'll have to save those calories for later.
If you ever smell the rotten egg odor, call Southwest Gas and 911 any time of the day. Your safety is our priority at Southwest Gas.
Every day, your business faces new challenges. One place you want stability and consistency is in your workers' compensation insurance. It's one of the first things every business needs and one of the last things you want to worry about. More businesses turn to SCF Arizona than anyone in the state. Our size and stability provide affordable rates, caring claim service, and an expertise in helping your workplace stay safe. We care about your business. We're SCF Arizona. Put us to work for you.
Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
This is Legalese, where the law is always on your side. Now introducing your host, a longtime veteran of the courts, Dennis Willinchek.
This is Dennis Willinchek, and we're here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5, Jack Willinchek and myself. And we always have great guests on, but today we're blessed with two really interesting guests, I think, because they're actually running against one another for their, I believe, the new congressional district here, which we'll get into. Our first guest is going to be Ben Quayle, who is back east right now and preparing for an important hearing, as I understand it, relating to the Fast and Furious gun running scandal, which we've done shows on and had some people on about. And then in the second half of our show, we're going to have David Schweikert, who is running against Ben Quayle for this new district. But we'll get into all that in a second. I want to introduce Ben Quayle. He's a graduate of Duke University and Vanderbilt Law School. He's practiced law, actually, and he and his brother Tucker Quayle own a company, a capital investment company based in Arizona. So he is a businessman that focuses on purchasing and operating small businesses, which is always great to hear that people in Congress have some real-world experience. He's a member of the Foundation Board of Phoenix Children's Hospital, which is a great great hospital. And he's the father of a nine-month-old daughter. So, Ben, are you on the phone with us?
I am.
Well, thanks for being on our show. It's a pleasure to have you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And tell us a little bit about what's going on, because quite frankly, even I, as a practicing attorney of 35 years, have to confess that it's a little confusing for me. Unless you really keep up with politics on a regular basis, it's really hard for people even following the newspapers to understand what's going on. Now, there's a new congressional district. Am I right so far?
Correct.
And this is the 9th congressional district?
They're saying that that's quote-unquote the new, but you know, all the districts have changed significantly.
But what is this district called? Is it correct to call it the 9th district?
No, this the one that I'm running in?
Yeah.
The 6th district.
6th district. Okay, so yeah. I got that wrong right off the bat. I confessed my ignorance at the beginning of the show, so you know, no one will hold it against me. But really, it is confusing for people. So if you can just give us a quick drill on how that works and how it's working, I think it would be helpful before we move on to talk about your race.
Yeah, sure. It's the 6th district is currently makes up about two-thirds, close to 70% of what my current district is, which is District 3, current District 3.
I think I'm in your district right now.
Where do you live?
Paradise Valley.
Yes. So yeah. CD6 is Paradise Valley is right in the middle of CD6 as well.
Well, that'll be in CD6 then as well.
Correct.
Okay.
Paradise Valley is kind of the southern, the southwest end,
okay,
or south central end of the district.
Right.
The Independent Commission really did a number on these districts.
Quite frankly, let me interrupt you one second.
Yeah.
I have to say, just as again a casual observer of this, that you're an existing congressman, and now they're basically changing your turf and completely changing your constituency, and that's got to hurt you, I would think.
Well, I mean, CD6 is a large part of what CD3 currently is,
Okay. Close
to 70%.
Okay.
But the thing is that they kind of went around and gerrymandered a bunch of districts around,
right,
and tried to jam Republicans into 4 districts so that the Democrats would have a better chance of getting 5, the majority of the congressional delegation. They eviscerated all the kinds of constitutional criteria that is set forth in the Arizona Constitution.
Okay.
And there are a couple lawsuits that have been filed. But, yeah, so CD6 is about 70% my current district, so it's got PV, Northeast Phoenix, Cape Creek, Carefree, and then it goes to North Scottsdale and Fountain Hills.
Wow. To me, there's a lot of diverse people in that district there. Runs a large gamut there.
Yeah, we're naturally a north-south city, and they tried to make it an east-west one, which doesn't make as much sense.
Yeah. Well, anyway, demographically, is it similar to the current district in terms of Republicans versus Democrats, or are you saying there's more leaning toward Democrats?
No, in this one, they actually packed a lot of Republicans in it, so my district, it actually gets a little bit more Republican.
All right. Well, that's helpful. I appreciate that. Now, I want to turn in the time we have with you to some real substance, and that is, first of all, let me just educate our listeners again, because other than shows like this, quite frankly, that focus on local issues, there really aren't many places to get information from other than the Arizona Republic, and they're very limited. But I saw in the Washington Examiner that there's an article about you and Fast and Furious and potential impeachment for a Holder, and I got to confess to my listening audience, although they probably already know I'm no fan of Eric Holder, I think he should be thrown out on his ear, so that it's obvious that I'm not a, you know, independent, probably fair observer in some ways. But having said that and revealed that, tell us about what's going on, because I just got to say one last thing on this. Fast and Furious is a disgrace. It's disgusting. We've had people on who were involved in it, right, Jack? We had the ATF officers on that a long time ago. And I think justice is up to their eyeballs in it, and they're hiding stuff. Tell us what you're going to do about that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think main justice, this goes all the way up to, if not the very top of Eric Holder, it definitely is lieutenants right underneath, and that in turn goes up to him.
Right.
And they're trying to scapegoat the guys in Arizona. They're trying to set that up. We saw it the last time when we had Eric Holder in front of us in judiciary on the Judiciary Committee, which we will have him again tomorrow. And you could see them trying to lay the groundwork to scapegoat the folks in the U.S. Attorney's Office in Arizona. And there's no way that those guys could have dreamed up this scheme and orchestrated without the full cooperation and sign-off by Maine Justice. And so what we're trying to do, and what I've been pushing really for is, obviously I want him to resign immediately, but I pushed for a special prosecutor signed by the president, but that's probably not going to happen. But now I've been pushing our leadership to really start to make this contempt of Congress proceeding go to the House floor. And he has been stonewalling our investigation in the Oversight Committee and in the Judiciary Committee and not providing the amount of documents that we've been requesting via subpoena. These are not just asking nicely. These are subpoenaed documents that they have not complied with. And so just yesterday, Daryl Issa sent over a letter saying that he actually did finally get, not from Justice, but from other sources, the wiretap affidavit. And, you know, Department of Justice is saying, oh, well, they just kind of rubber stamp wiretap affidavits. And that, of course, is really troubling if that's the truth, but I don't think it is the truth.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try to get to the bottom of this. We have one agent that's killed. We have another ICE agent who's been killed south of the border. We don't know if there are guns from Fast and Furious, but you have 2,000-plus weapons that are in the hands of drug cartels now. And those are the ones that have killed 47,000 people in Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy. And it's absolutely insane. When you get deeper and deeper into it, it's like Alice through the Looking Glass. It gets worse. And what I don't understand, though, before we take our break here, is how Eric Holder and his office somehow find it incredible that the sheriff's office, quote, doesn't cooperate with their subpoenas, okay? But then when it comes to them responding to subpoenas, it's somehow a different rule of law.
Absolutely. And that just shows the arrogance of the Department of Justice under Eric Holder.
All right, real quick. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I think that they don't believe that the law applies to them.
Exactly. Now, when we come back, we're going to take a break in just about a couple of seconds, or about a minute, actually. But I want you to tell our audience what the nature of this hearing is real quickly, and then when we come back, we're going to get deeper into it, okay?
Okay.
So what is tomorrow's hearing?
Tomorrow's hearing is an oversight hearing on the Department of Justice.
Is this televised?
It is. It should be on C-SPAN, one of the C-SPANs. Okay. I don't know which one.
But it will be on.
Yes, it will.
Okay. We're going to have to take our break. Ben Quayle, Congressman Ben Quayle, who's running for the 6th District, a new district being created. We'll come back in just a minute after these commercial messages. Thank you.
Don't touch that dial. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
My name's Dave Leach with Renee Leach & Associates. As everyone knows, the U.S. economy depends greatly on the condition of the real estate market, and neither are improving soon. As a result, if you have a mortgage in Arizona, there's a huge chance that you're upside down on that home. Phoenix home prices are down 20 to 30 years in many neighborhoods. What someone paid in 1985 is about what the home might be worth today. There is good news. Banks are encouraging short sales. At Renee Leach & Associates, we have closed over 1,100 home sales in the past 24 months. We have the experience to help you get out from under a bad mortgage. It will cost you nothing. Our relationships with lenders allow us to get it closed fast at no expense to you. You can't wait. Banks are not going to allow you to short sale forever. The tax relief is scheduled to end this year. That means you have to act now. If you wait, you might find yourself stuck, despite still owing more than your home is worth. Call 480-656-1644. Ask for me, Dave Leach, and let me help you gather the information you need to understand your options. Renee Leach & Associates, 480-656-1644, or look for us online at rlabrokers.com. That's rlabrokers.com.
Are you overweight, struggling with related health problems? Do you have poor energy? Are your clothes getting tighter and tighter? Change your food cravings and bad habits now with a proven weight control hypnosis CD that will teach you behavior modification techniques for making small, effective lifestyle eating changes. Learn a powerful hypnosis technique that will reinforce good food choices effortlessly. Call 818-769-4300 now to receive the Weight Control Forever program for only $12. This special offer ends soon. Call 818-769-4300.
Imus in the Morning, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Yeah, this is Legally, Dennis and Jack Willinchek here, talking with Congressman Ben Quayle. And, Congressman, I wish we had more time. I was just saying to Jack, if you would be good enough for our listeners' sake to come back on the air with us after this hearing that you're talking about, or at some point is convenient for you, and
yeah,
just report back to us. We'd love it, because let me just say this. You are one of the people that is doggedly, and I use that in a positive manner, going after this Eric Holder and his organization through the House Judiciary Committee oversight hearing. And I want to say to our listeners that Congressman Quayle is going to press, I hope, and I believe he will, Holder into answering some questions finally about this horrendous, and I've spoken about this before in the air, this horrendous Fast and Furious thing that must not be shoveled under the rug. There are people that are dead as a result of it. It's an insane idea to put guns out there through dealers in the hands of criminals. Whoever thought of that idea ought to be brought up on charges. It's an insane concept. And Holder is part of it, and he's refusing and stonewalling for now. How long has it been, Jack? 6 months or more that we've been talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Congressman Quayle, I want to say, is going to do something about it and not let this guy get away, I hope, tomorrow with evading you. Is that right, Congressman?
And that's exactly right. I think that it's going to be a team effort for the Republicans on the Judiciary Committee because he has in the past just evaded and dodged or just said, I'm going to get back
yeah.
to you. But if we continue to ask the same questions over and over and over again, even if he just gets really frustrated and says, I think I've answered it, we have to go, no, you haven't. You said X, Y, and Z.
Well, let me ask you about that. You're a congressman, and I respect that greatly, and you have powers as a congressman of contempt, don't you?
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to push right now since he hasn't been complying with Congress as an investigatory authority.
And I got to say that this probably, and this is, and I'm going to say it's strictly speculation, so I'm going to be upfront about that. But I got a feeling it goes beyond Eric Holder because I don't think Eric Holder does anything without talking to people in the White House. And that I don't know if you're looking into, but it should be looked into.
We have been inquiring about that. There have been a lot of inconsistencies on what the president knew, when he knew it. There have been some inconsistent statements on that as well. And so we are looking into that. We're looking into see what different White House advisors might know because I don't think that this – I agree. I don't think that this is just some
yeah.
scheme that was put up by Eric Holder. I think that there was political implications behind it.
How far back – let me ask you this question because another thing that I've heard is obviously from mostly Democrats is that – well, this goes back to the George Bush days and
no,
so forth.
It's wrong. They're talking about Operation White Receiver, which was a much different operation. A, they never let the guns walk, and which is a big difference.
Okay, so are you saying this started – let's be clear on this before we're done.
Yeah.
That this started when Janet Napolitano's former chief of staff, Dennis Burke, came on the scene after the prior attorney general, who was a Republican in name, Charlton.
Paul Charlton, yeah.
Yeah, who was technically a Republican, but he wasn't involved in this, you're saying.
Correct. And so this started under Eric Holder.
Right.
The Operation Wide Receiver, which was a different program – never allowed the guns to walk.
Right.
And the other thing is that they actually worked with the Mexican authorities. Mexican authorities knew they were trying to do this operation, didn't ever let the guns walk, hoping that they'd get to various drug cartel folks and then capture those people. This is a totally different situation. They let the guns walk,
yeah, they let them
thousands
walk.
Of guns, and they never told the Mexican authorities. So now
exactly.
the Mexican authorities are saying, great, now we have 2,000 weapons that were coming from the United States that we're going to have to fight against. And we're having our sheriffs. I mean, there was that sheriff just a couple of weeks ago that was killed just south of Yuma.
Yeah, no, it's an astounding – honestly, it's an astounding story. It should not be pushed under the rug. This really needs to come out in the open. It's one of the most embarrassing things that I've seen in my many years of practicing law. But coming back to it now, so Dennis Burke resigned, correct?
Yes.
And he resigned in part, if I recall correctly, based upon some of these allegations that he couldn't really respond to. He was before the Congress, and he testified, correct?
Correct.
And then my recollection is that following that, almost immediately, he resigned.
Yeah, he and his deputy, I'm blanking on his name right now.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But anyways, they are being set up right now by Holder and Holder's lieutenants to be the fall guys.
I see.
And there is no way that Dennis Burke was the one who came up with this plan.
Well, and particularly,
he was just doing his job. He was getting orders from above to do this.
Yeah, but particularly since he was new on the job, he really hadn't any prior experience other than working as a chief of staff, which, as you know, is a whole different deal than actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so it's obvious that the Holders – now, you're trying to get, I take it, and tomorrow you're going to press for the information between those offices that you still probably don't have, correct? emails, correct, things of that nature.
Right. I mean, we've requested, you know, close to 100,000 different documents, and we've gotten about 2,000.
Right.
And of those 2,000, many of them are heavily redacted, mm-hmm. Some even being fully redacted pages, so yeah. They don't really do much.
Yeah, I mean, that's a joke. And in terms of emails between Burke and the people that he reports to in Justice, you're saying you really don't have much of a lead there right now.
We've gotten some, but not nearly as much as we want.
Right.
The one person that I'm blanking on the name who was just under Burke, he's taken his Fifth Amendment privilege and said he was not going to come to oversight to testify.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that, you know, if we can try to work with ICE and try to either figure out some sort of plea arrangement, because
right.
they know exactly what happened. I don't think that they want to be the fall guys in this.
But you got to keep in mind, of course, that they're very highly political people. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah. Most people assume that because he was U.S. attorney that he's not political. That's exactly untrue. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I've never met him. But I'm just saying that he's clearly a political guy working under Janet Napolitano. He was a diehard and a world Democrat. So I think I disagree a little bit with what you're saying. I think they may try to take the fall because, again, given the Napolitano connection, they're so tight with her that I don't think they want to embarrass the administration now before the election.
Oh, I'm not saying that they would actually do it. I was saying that, you know, that's an avenue that we could pursue.
Yeah, yes,
because I think I agree with you. I think that – but the thing is, you know, you always got to remember this. Ultimately, there's some folks who are self-interested, and if they think that, you know, well, how is this going to end up good for them?
Yeah.
By taking the fall for this monstrosity of a program,
yeah.
I think that they'd be hard pressed to do that.
Well, it's a classic deal. Holder's throwing them under the bus, and
they
at some point have to understand that and hopefully look out for their interests. But interesting. Now, I want to ask you just quickly before we leave. As I said, the time goes by. I'd love to have you on for the full hour, but it didn't work out that way. But let me just ask you about your campaign and the process you're going through right now. Obviously, you're running against also an incumbent congressman in Schweikert, who has a long history of being in government and is an existing congressman. So that's kind of an unusual deal, right?
Yeah, it's one of the side effects of redistricting. It's happening all over the country right now.
Yeah, it's kind of an unfortunate deal to pit you two guys against one another, really. Now, mm-hmm. what about I got to get into this article I read somewhere. I think it was in the National Journal or someplace. That reported some accusation about someone from Schweikert's campaign potentially spying on your campaign headquarters by pretending to be a volunteer. What's going on with that? And I read an article about it, and I can get into more detail, but is there something to that?
No, I mean, that's what happened. Somebody from his campaign came over to try to pose as a volunteer, and we caught them. And they have since basically lied about it and said it never happened.
Mm.
That's the bigger part of this.
And the person listed the Islamic Community Center in Tempe as their home address?
Yeah, I don't think they said that was their home, but the address that was attached to that was, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. Now, quickly, I mean, do you have any reason to believe that Schweikert himself was involved in that, or it could have been an innocent mistake? I mean...
Well, the thing is that it happened, and they've continued to deny it, even though it was a complete lie that they're denying it. And so I think it's calling into question really his integrity because of his outright bald-faced lies on this. His stories have changed numerous times. So
all right, well,
that's the biggest issue.
Yeah, that's good. We'll get to hear from him later. I don't know if you'll be on the air or not, but if you're not, you can listen and see what he says about it because I am going to get directly into that. It's kind of a weird story. So, but I do want to ask you before we go. I remember you had a campaign headquarters on 44th Street when you began because I passed it all the time coming home.
Yep.
Where's your present campaign headquarters?
It is on Tatum. I mean, sorry, it's on Shea, just east of Tatum.
Okay, and if people want to contribute to your campaign or get involved or volunteer, tell us how they would do that.
Quailforcongress.com is the best way to do that.
Okay. And let me ask you this. I know you practice law, which, you know, I'm going to start a trial next week, so don't get me started on the practice of law right now because, you know, before a trial, it's always a tough time. But did you enjoy your practice of law?
I did. The only thing I didn't like was living in 6-minute increments and billing hours. That was my least favorite part of the job.
Right.
It's great training. It trains your mind to think very analytically.
Sure.
And being a member of Congress, I think it is really good training just because I can quickly analyze a bill, see what it does, know the difference in terms of what, you know, legalese is going to affect the different aspects of the bill. So I think that that has really been good training.
So you actually would tout your prior practice of law as a positive in terms of your campaign running for Congress again, as opposed to, I think David Schweikert is not a lawyer. I think he's an accountant, if I'm not mistaken. But
well,
I'll get into that.
I think it's both. I mean, I think that my small business background and the legal background help in both sides. And being on judiciary and being in, you know, when you're actually drafting legislation, I think that, that the legal background, just from a training aspect, is very beneficial.
We got about a minute and a half. I'm going to give you that time to tell our listeners, we've got Ben Quayle, congressman, on, why you think, and it's unfortunate you're running in a primary, but you've got to do it, why you think you'd make a better candidate for people to vote for than Representative Schweikert, and I'll give him the same opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, I've already been able to be a leader in Washington as a freshman, leading on issues like Fast and Furious, leading on issues like regulatory reform, helping to make sure that the conservative movement has a strong voice and actually is pushing and pulling the Republican conference over to the right to be more conservative, stand up to the values that have made us strong. And I think that one of the most important things is to carry that mantle, to say that, you know, conservative values aren't a relic of the past. They're actually the path to the future.
But isn't Schweikert a conservative?
I believe he is conservative, but we do have differing
votes. Tell me,
votes.
Again, I got like 20 seconds. Tell me why you're a better candidate than him in your mind.
I think it comes down to leadership and the ability to convince others to pull them over to the conservative side. You can't just be one vote. You have to be able to convince others as well. And I've been able to lead on issues that are important to Arizona, important to the country.
Okay. Congressman Quayle, we appreciate you being on the air with us. I wish we had more time. We've got a break. And we will hopefully have you on the air after you take on Eric Holder tomorrow, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care. Good luck.
News Radio, I'm Veronica Dela Cruz. There were smiles on Wall Street today. The Dow is up 286 points. It is the best day of the year. Whether the rally will continue depends on who you talk to. Matt Cheslock, a trader with Virtue Financial, is encouraged.
Short term, I do trust it. We're in a lull for what we expect out of Europe as far as news goes.
Right.
We have some rebalancing that's going to go on for the next couple of weeks.
But CNBC's Mandy Drury has her concerns.
We kind of distrust it because you can't really pinpoint exactly what is spurring it higher. I mean, okay, for example, if there were rumors of QE3. Well, I mean, we often get rumors of QE3, right? But do we get a rally to this degree? No, not necessarily.
If you have an account on LinkedIn, you'll want to pay attention to this next item. The business social network confirms that some of its users' passwords have been stolen and leaked onto the internet. LinkedIn has detailed information on many of its 160 million members, including possibly confidential information about job searches. This is NBC News Radio.
Arizona News Radio. Opponents of Sheriff Joe Arpaio again asked the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors to make sure he doesn't use public money to investigate the president's birth records.
We're a laughingstock. You know, they're calling us birther stand now.
Arpaio says he's using private donations for his posse. Protesters also targeted the Pinal County Sheriff's Office in Florence, condemning Sheriff Paul Babiu's comments that a drug cartel linked to five bodies inside a burned-out SUV. It also could be linked to a Tempe murder-suicide.
You don't go out and start making really outrageous remarks.
Tom Barrett is an opponent of the sheriff. Tempe police looking for the driver of a pickup truck who fled after hitting a bicycle rider.
A pickup truck pulled out of a driveway in a shopping center, struck a bicyclist, and then fled the scene.
Phoenix political analyst Jim Haynes says the victory by Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker yesterday could have an impact in Arizona.
There's much more union influence through the general population than you find in Arizona.
George Tanner, Arizona News.
This check of York Haven X traffic, a service of 5-hour energy. Look for that wreck, Guadalupe Road, east of Rural. It's actually at Lakeshore Drive. We also have an accident westbound I-10 at Tall Tech Road. Look for a collision 59th Avenue south of Peoria and another accident Litchfield Road south of Thomas. You know that 4:30 feeling? You've hit the wall, but you got to get stuff done. That's the time for 5-hour energy. 5-hour energy when you just got to get stuff done. Here's your Wednesday forecast.
Jim Howell from the KFX Weather Center. Pretty nice week for us, just about normal for this time in June. Looking at 104 tomorrow afternoon, maybe a degree higher, 105 on Friday, but not much change into our weekend. 103 to 105. Jim Howell, Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
Thanks, Jimmy. Currently here in Midtown, we're at 99 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
Since 1991, the law offices of Willinchek & Partners have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Willinchek & Partners focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Willinchek & Partners today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Did you know that more than 65% of corporations on the New York Stock Exchange are using barter? In fact, more than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Think you know barter? Think again. With Premier Barter, the Valley's fastest-growing and most business-friendly barter company, you can gain access to a network of more than 40,000 companies. Through Premier Barter, you can expand your customer base and generate barter dollars, which can be spent through hundreds of companies locally and thousands of companies nationwide. Almost anything you can think of, things you're currently buying for cash, can be acquired with barter. Visit www.premierbarter.com. It will be the best business decision you ever make. 602-470-8020. That's 602-470-8020. More than 470,000 companies in the U.S. participate in barter. What do they know that you don't? Call Premier Barter today. That's 602-470-8090. PremierBarter.com.
Did you know short sales can erase all home loan debt?
Don't walk away. Many banks and the government now pay sellers to complete short sales.
I'm Rick Elton.
And I'm Dave Elton. Elton Realty has served the Valley for over 15 years.
Every short sale is different. Outcomes are not guaranteed.
Call for a free consultation that best serves your situation and get a fresh start today.
480-451-3318. That's 480-451-3318.
Or visit eltonrealty.com.
Log on and listen live. 1100KFNX.com.
This is Dennis Willinchek and Jack Willinchek here on Legalese every Wednesday from 4 to 5. And this week, as you just heard, we had Congressman Ben Quayle on, who's running in the 6th District now, which has been redistricted, against Representative, currently Representative David Schweikert, who I think lives in Fountain Hill. So, Representative Schweikert, you're on the air with us. Welcome to our show.
No, it's good to be here.
Well, great. We just had Ben Quayle on for the past half hour telling us why he should be elected in your new district. So, and I might say he was rather cordial, I think. Why should you be elected rather than him?
Well, you know, and look, Ben is a nice young man. First, do a little bit of a history lesson. Having been someone that actually grew up in the district, I was elected for my first time when I was 28 years old to the state legislature to represent Scottsdale and Carefree and Cave Creek. I did that for two terms and went back to our business, and several years ago got talked into running as the county treasurer and did that for a while, and then I was blessed to be the person that beat Harry Mitchell. But if you look at the last 30-plus years, I've been involved in the conservative battle here in town. I don't think I've ever missed an election. I don't think there's actually been a fight in our community in the last three decades that had to do with conservative cause that I wasn't part of. So in some ways, to step up and make a decision, do you vote for someone that has been with you, with the community, involved? Or someone that, you know, whose record is brand new. I mean, didn't even vote in the primary before he was on the ballot.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I should have introduced you properly. You are the former treasurer of Maricopa County. You did beat Harry Mitchell in the last election, which was I think you lost the first time, then beat him the second time, which was really an impressive victory. And you are involved, in fairness to you, and a lot of fiscal issues, given your background. Tell us a little bit more about your background exactly before you were treasurer.
Well, first off, my time here in Congress, I've been here in Congress, about 16, 17 months now, and I am blessed. I hold a seat on what they call the Financial Services Committee. I hold the vice chairmanship of the Capital Markets, So I'm on the committee that oversees Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the SEC, derivatives, basically the entire piece of Dodd-Frank and its implementation, which are huge issues for Arizona.
Yeah.
You know, we're a state that lives on growth. And it's not only, you know, housing, but also how you finance all these entrepreneurs and these little businesses that are trying to grow our state and how they access capital. That's my area of specialization.
Yeah, and as I understand it, I was going to say, the big ticket item with you, as I hear it, is fiscal responsibility, reducing the size and cost of government, and fighting for a balanced budget and even a balanced budget amendment, right? Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Senator Lee from Utah and I sponsored, I believe, the best and the most conservative balanced budget amendment because it actually had some kickers in there that avoided, shall we say, some of the game playing that happened with other balanced budget amendments.
Yeah, we actually had Senator Lee on the air with us because his family, as you know, goes way back in Arizona, his father, Solicitor General. And he's an interesting guy, too. And so you work with him in tandem. Is that what you're saying?
Very much so. I'm blessed to have a great relationship with him. And Pat Toomey is actually helping us on a number of things. Now, a lot of that's because I'm one of the members of Congress who really does, I believe, focus on the budget and the math. And we have a reality that everyone listening and everyone who's actually paying attention to this election cycle needs to get their head around. We have a tremendous debt crisis, and it's coming at us very, very fast. And it's driven by mandatory spending. The reality of it is this is not comfortable to talk about in an election year, but it's reality. Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, interest on the debt, and veterans benefits are exploding because we have this thing called baby boomers.
Yeah.
Every day, 10,300 of our brothers and sisters turn 65. And Congress, Washington, D.C., in its wisdom, didn't set aside the resources for them. So think of it. This year, 63% of all of our spending will be those and 40%.
Yeah, David, we're having a little trouble hearing you. I think you're on a cell phone because, as I understand it, you're waiting for a vote. Is that right?
Correct. Is this any better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, sorry about that.
No problem.
But the point you're heading towards is at the current growth of what we call the mandatory spending, formula spending, at the end of the decade, it's basically everything. That's the reality we deal with.
Yeah, you're fading in and out, unfortunately. But let me see if we can move along. And you aside from the economy, of course, which is on everybody's mind, you have strong pro-life views. Is that right?
Oh, very much so. My family was one of the founding families of Arizona Right to Life.
Yeah, and so that's a big issue on your part. And tell us about this concealed carry gun law that sponsored or introduced?
Well, first off, when I was in the state legislature, now we're talking way back, 1993,
yeah.
I was one of the prime sponsors of Arizona's concealed carry law. And at that time, that was a very controversial piece of legislation, but we got it through. And the amusing part is I still have some letters and things that said, Schweikert, you're going to be responsible for tens of thousands of deaths. Well, guess what? Arizona got safer. People learned to respect their weapons. Accidental shootings went down. I'm still wondering if any of those folks will ever apologize for, you know, their rather inflamed rhetoric.
Don't count on it.
I want to back you up a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Remember how you were just touching on the life issue?
Yeah.
Well, remember, and I think maybe you and I have touched on this, I was actually born in an unwed mother's home. And was adopted by a family that, you know, brought me to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So in my household and the family I grew up in, you know, it's a very, very personal issue.
Yeah, sure. No, I understand where you're coming from on that. I didn't know that about you. That's interesting. Now, It's a very controversial and private issue. I agree with you. And I'm not even sure at this point what Congress's involvement in it should be. What's your feeling on that in terms of...
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is I believe a society can be judged for its respect for life, particularly innocent life.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes into areas I don't want to really, get off on here because...
I understand.
Yeah.
But it was just more of a definition of why someone takes such a view.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that and respect it very much. Now, let's turn it, though, to something less controversial maybe in Arizona, and that's illegal immigration, okay?
Yeah.
That was a tongue-in-cheek remark.
You're a funny guy.
Yeah, exactly. Tell me about your position on illegal immigration in general and how you feel about the DREAM Act for minor children and what position you've taken. I know you oppose amnesty. That I do know.
Oh, yeah, very much so. But let's talk about the tough one. I will get folks who will call me and say, well, don't you have a heart, Schweikert? You know, how can you not embrace the DREAM Act? And something I try to walk them through is the law of unintended consequences.
What do you mean?
The DREAM Act, let's say, became law tomorrow. Have you ever heard of something called chain migration?
Not really.
United States, for the last 40, 50 years, has engaged in an immigration system of sponsorship. So you become a U.S. citizen, now you can sponsor family members.
Okay.
Well, here's the math problem. My understanding is someone who becomes a U.S. citizen can sponsor, if you look at their extended family, about 67 individuals.
Yeah.
So this is not a tiny little population of, you know, all Nobel laureate students and, you know, kids that we care about and we've educated, and your heart breaks for them. But you have to see flip side. You got to understand the unintended consequence. And I've actually had the experience where I've had DREAM Act activists in my office, and we've talked about saying, would you be willing to step up, and this is me talking to the activists, would you be willing to step up and support a DREAM Act that would limit or eliminate the chain migration sponsorship where, you know, we provide a track for citizenship for the student to become a U.S. citizen, but it limits the number of family members that can be sponsored. And they looked at me in horror and said, absolutely not, and walked out of the room.
Mm.
Which lets you understand there's a game going on in this issue. It's being used as a political wedge and also something else.
Yeah. You know, I was asking Congressman Quayle earlier about this new district, and it's kind of unfortunate in some ways. It seems to me that two of you guys are pitted against one another. You're both
It should never happen. I mean, as hopefully he talked about, we were put into different districts.
Yeah.
So we live in different districts now. As is his perfect right in Arizona, and anywhere in the country, according to the U.S. Constitution, you just have to live in the state. And you can run in any congressional district you want.
Yeah.
So
you don't have to have residency in a particular district.
Correct. Correct. And so he does not. He actually lives in the new congressional district 9.
Oh, I see.
He does not live in our district.
Okay. So, but I mean, the point is, one of you has to win and one of you has to lose. Obviously, so.
Yeah.
We're going to lose. It sounds like you're both pretty good congressmen, very dedicated to your jobs, and it's kind of unfortunate that the way this is going to work out, that we're going to lose one of you, obviously.
But that's just welcome to politics.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality of it is at some point you have to embrace the concept our founding fathers gave us. They gave us a competitive system. And sometimes it's not warm and fuzzy and comfortable.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. And, you know, I'll make my argument to the voters, and I'll also lay out my history in the community to the voters and the fact I actually live in the district and, you know, those sorts of mechanics, and we'll hopefully they'll make a choice.
So we're talking with David Schweikert, congressman running for Congress in District 9 against Ben Quayle in the primary. Let me ask you something. Now, there are a lot of Democrats, aren't there, that have already announced that they're looking at that spot as well on the Democratic side, correct? They're already
out
there.
Well, you mean in Congressional District 6?
6. I apologize.
The mistake was Ben actually lives in District 9, but he's running in District 6.
Right. I understand
and
what you're saying.
The reality of it is just demographics, math, and voter registration. A Democrat is not a player It's just math in Congressional District 6. And I believe there might be one or two that actually got enough signatures to get on the ballot.
So you're saying it's one of those things.
It's not a competitive district.
Yeah, so the primary will probably determine the winners, what you're saying.
The primary will determine.
Okay, and let me give you another opportunity because we started out on that track. Congressman Quayle was talking to us about this fast and furious operation, what he's doing tomorrow on the Judiciary Committee, having Eric Holder in front of him. What are your thoughts on that? I've expressed on the show many times my thoughts on it, which is that I think it's one of the biggest disgraces in American history that I've seen or learned about in history.
No, it absolutely is. And it's more than that. Eric Holder and this Justice Department have become political operatives. Instead of following the tradition of the Justice Department where they stayed out of politics and actually tried to actually execute justice.
Yeah, now you're not on the Judiciary Committee, but you're going to ultimately vote on this in some way or another.
Well, and I've actually had some success in doing what they call limitation amendments on the Justice Department's budget. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to get an amendment attached saying that the Justice Department cannot spend money going after states for having voter ID laws. But, isn't this crazy?
Oh, it is crazy.
That a member of Congress is having to find ways to get the Justice Department to be rational in who it goes around and sues.
Well, I mean, it's worse than that. Look, as I said with Ben Quayle, I mean, you know, you just look at the hypocrisy of these people going after the sheriff's office, claiming he's stonewalling them on documents, right? What a joke.
At the same time, look what they've been doing.
Yeah, Eric Holder sits there and hasn't produced one, you know, hardly any documents, and many of them are redacted and basically is in contempt of Congress. But that's okay, I guess, you know, because it doesn't apply equally to them. But that's what I want to know. I mean, are you committed to doing something about this? Because I think this is a major issue.
I will tell you, and this is really important because you also have to think of it strategically. Every Republican member of the U.S. House is furious with Eric Holder and is holding his feet to the fire, but we're also being smart about it.
Okay.
You need to know how deep the corruption goes. How deep do the bad acts go? And that's where you have to hold Daryl Issa. It's really the Government Oversight Committee, you know, Oversight and Investigations, that's done the brilliant work of digging and digging.
Well, they're digging, but the other side isn't giving them anything to dig with.
Oh, that's not true.
Really?
That's not true. About every other week, you know, you hear the story of the document dump. And have you ever noticed how they do it on a Friday evening?
Yeah.
We know so much more today than we knew even a few months ago.
Yeah, but Congressman Quayle was talking about the fact that it appears that they're trying to use the former U.S. attorney who resigned sort of as their scapegoat.
But that's the point. On occasion, we'll get folks that say, oh, what we should do is immediately take Eric Holder and impeach him.
That's my
and
vote.
I'm one of those that says you do that the moment you think you've uncovered all the sins.
Well, that's fair.
Or at least enough of the sins. Because right now, it's more than Eric Holder. I want to know how deep that corruption goes in the Justice Department.
Yeah, well, that's great. I applaud you for that. I'm sure my audience does. You know, we've really got to get to the bottom of this. They've been playing games with this for a long time. We've been on this on the show. We've touched on this subject many times. We've had guests on about it. This is just a complete joke what's going on, okay? That he can sit there and basically, you know, not provide documents, not provide relevant documents.
But understand, Daryl Issa and his investigative group have dug much, much deeper than most people know. And even Congressman Issa and I, about 2 weeks ago, were having quite a conversation about this on the floor. And there's a lot more about to come.
All right, so you're telling our audience here that this is not just going to die, that this is going to continue.
Oh, God, no. Yeah. Oh, heavens, no.
Okay.
Oh, heavens, no.
Okay.
This is actually, they are treating this like professional prosecutors.
Okay.
They are systematically peeling back the layers of this onion.
Excellent. All right, listen, we've got about, you know, a little less than 2 minutes, and I've hogged up a lot of your time, but let me just give you that opportunity, as I did Congressman Quayle, to tell the voters in this new District 6 why David Schweikert, you, make a better candidate as far as once you're elected, why you make a better congressman than Ben Quayle. And unfortunately, that's the way we have to do it, even if you guys like each other.
No, it's fair. Yeah. I mean, this is the way American politics works. Look, first, for anyone that's listening, grab a piece of paper, grab a pencil. My home phone number is 480-659-9383. That's one of the differences I will give you over any elected official. I will talk to anyone. I will do
what
I can to
help
anyone.
You may regret that. You may regret that. But anyway, go ahead.
No.
Tell us, tell our audience.
No, I give out my home phone or my cell phone every single day. If you're going to be elected, you have to be willing to serve the public. And particularly when you're a conservative like I am, and you're trying to be a conservative warrior out there, you need to know what's going on in your district and your community.
All right, we got less than a minute. Tell us why you're the better guy in Congress. If someone has to make a choice between you and Quayle.
Combination of a handful of things. Look at my rating on Heritage Action. Look at other groups that have stood up and endorsed me. You just saw Freedom Works endorse me last week. Citizens United has just endorsed me. But also look at 30 years in this community of sometimes being in elected office, sometimes just being a conservative activist, sometimes, you know, being just one of the true warriors in the community to try to do good things.
All right. How do people get in touch with you? Other than your home phone number, do you have a website?
Sure. It's Schweikert. Actually, do this. Go to David12. So David12.com is the easiest link to the website.
All right. My listeners will do that, I hope. And David Schweikert, thanks for being with us. We'll touch base with you during the election, see how you're doing. And good luck to you and Quayle. You're both great guys and great candidates. So sorry you have to run against each other.
No, but you're wonderful. Hey, I appreciate it.
We'll talk to you later. Thanks. This is Dennis and Jack Wilencheck on Legal.
Solutions by Dr. Fitness every Saturday at 7 a.m. with your host, former Mr. America and Mr. Universe, Dr. Lance Dreyer, Ph.D. Wake up to the solutions for proper nutrition, fitness, and weight loss with Dr. Fitness, Saturday at 7 a.m.
This is Ron Sherman for Pure Ion. Now, that's a name you've never heard before, but let me tell you, Pure Ion is the economical way to keep your pool water clean and healthy without using chlorine or harmful chemicals. Pure Ion is a must in commercial pools and hospitals, as well as private backyard pools like yours. The Pure Ion system simplifies pool maintenance. It uses sanitizing ions, which are injected into your pool. These ions are 100% active, controlling bacteria and algae while balancing the pH level and alkalinity. There's no salt, no residue, just beautiful, clear, clean water. Check out Pure Ion at pureionh2o.com. That's pureionh2o.com. Check out the revolutionary system that I use in my pool. For pure, clean water, check out pureionh2o.com. That's pureionh2o.com.
Since 1991, the law offices of Wilencheck & Bartness have provided the quality business litigation service that you'd find at a big firm with small firm atmosphere. Wilencheck & Bartness focus on cases involving breach of contract, real estate litigation, construction defect, business fraud, and breach of fiduciary duty. For professional yet very personal legal representation, call Wilencheck & Bartness today at 602-606-2810. That's 602-606-2810.
Triple Digit Heat is here now. Have no fear. 1-800-PLUMBER of Mesa is here to help. Locally owned and operated, we offer free estimates, no trip charges, and we're available to service all your cooling needs this summer. Call 1-800-PLUMBER or visit us online at 1-800-PLUMBER.com for service today.
Get the kitchen you've always dreamed of. American-made maple cabinets and countertops delivered and installed for a 10x11 kitchen, only $29.95. That is $1,500 off the list price. Creative Kitchen, specializing in kitchen and bath remodeling since 1994. Call Creative Kitchens to get started on your new American-made kitchen today. Call 602-550-7620. That's 602-550-7620. 602-550-7620.
I'm hiding in Honduras.
Welcome back to Legalese. This is Jack Wilencheck, stepping out from behind the scenes and closing up the show here. We got just a couple minutes. I want to thank our guests who came on today, Representatives Ben Quayle and David Schweikert. Unfortunately, two of those guys have to run against each other. I think they're both very qualified and do a good job. We're talking to Ben Quayle about what's going on with the Fast and the Furious. And then David Schweikert made the comment that there's a lot more that's about to come out. I don't want to, you know, go too far into anything attorney-client privileged, but I'll say this. I've kept my ears to the ground, and there is a lot more to come out on that. There's a lot, what's going on with the cartels reaches a lot further than I think anybody realizes, and what the FBI has been trying to do to combat that reaches further than anybody realizes. But good luck to the two of those guys. It's a sad thing that we have to be pitted against each other. We've got some good guests coming up on the show. I encourage you all to tune in next week. Check us out at www.legaleseonline.com. That's www.legaleseonline.com. This is Jack Wilinchek signing off on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
Answer. Call me for this link and you will call me back. I have the answer. Who was the dynamic leader that history tells us that when he went to meet his maker, that his eyes were not dim nor his vigor abated? I have the answer. I urge you, choose science and not celebrities in your pursuit of an active lifestyle well beyond statistical predictions. I have the answer. Is your energy level low and your health insurance costs high? I have the answer. Tired of buying grocery store produce from third world countries that have been sprayed with who knows what? I have the answer. I have nutrient-dense, locally grown produce, and so much more. It costs a few bucks, but it's worth $1 million. Charisma Culture is our name, and applying gifts is our game. I have the answer. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601. 602-762-2601.
You're listening to Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX, Cape Creek, Phoenix, the home of Neil Bortz, weekdays 10 a.m. to noon. KFNX News.